There, nerds, welcome to another episode of Two Nerdy Dads. This is episode 10. We've hit the big 10, a decade. With me
double
as
digit.
Always, that's right, we're in the double digits, baby. And that is, of course, Jason Applegate. Say hey, Jason.
Hey, everybody.
So, what do we have on this special 10th anniversary of of Two Nerdy Dads?
Well, I thought we would start off with something that's been a pretty big social media phenomenon, and that is the ALS Bucket Challenge. And I thought we'd start off with just some initial thoughts on the whole thing, and then maybe comment on some of the other, some of the ones we've seen happen. I know a lot of celebrities have been doing it, and maybe some of our favorites or what have you. So, yeah, what are your thoughts on the whole bucket challenge?
It's pretty ingenious. I know a lot of people on social media that I've seen are getting annoyed with it, and there's been backlash with the picture of the little African child who's saying, "So you're telling me you waste good water on what?" It's like, yeah, I understand that portion of it, that we're wasting water. But at the same time, I saw a stat this morning that the ALS Foundation typically during this time period raised about $1.7 million. And because of this campaign, they raised about $13.7 million. So
wow,
it's clearly worked, and it's not like it's a bad cause. It's not like it's for a video game or something. It's for something that's life-changing. So I'm not exactly sure why the backlash, and I understand people are getting sick of seeing all these videos, but it's worked, and I think that's a great thing.
Right, I agree. I think the only thing that I thought might have been cause for the backlash was the way that it started out, I think, initially was, okay, donate to the ALS or dump a bucket of ice-cold water on your head. And so a lot of people were thinking that people were doing this to avoid taking the challenge of donating the money. And so I know when I saw that, initially I thought, okay, so are all these celebrities making multi-million dollars, like, opting out of donating by dumping a bucket? But no, that's not the case, thankfully. Most of them, even if they don't explicitly state it, are actually donating to the cause and doing the bucket challenge. And I can understand the sort of, I'm kind of tired of seeing these videos, but I don't know, I'm not one. You don't have to watch all of them if you don't want to. I think it's kind of refreshing to see people, whether it's your friends and family, which it's been cool to see, you know, just people you know take the challenge, and, celebrities, people that, you know, otherwise, it's nice to see them as just being normal, everyday people getting water dumped on their head. That's kind of cool.
I completely agree. And to be honest, I was a little confused because I hadn't seen the wording of either or, donate or the challenge. I'd only seen donate, do the challenge, or do both. So I just assumed everybody was doing both. But then when I saw the backlash, it was people saying, why wouldn't you donate? Why would you do the ice instead? And I'm like, I'm so confused. So I think that might be an area where maybe they I don't know who put out the original post, to be honest. But maybe the wording was not good on the first one. But it seems like it's evolved donate what you can and do the ice challenge.
Yeah, I would imagine no one would actually dump the water on their head to avoid donating, $5 even, it's nothing. And if everybody donates $5, that's a lot of money. That's going to add up really fast and it can really make a difference. So how about of the ones that you've seen, any stand out to you as being amusing or, you know, your favorites just because maybe it was a celebrity that you're a fan of or anything like that, or a buddy? Have you had anyone? I have yet to have anyone call me out. So if anyone out there wants to call me out, go for it, because I would be happy to, and I'm just waiting for it to happen.
Well, you may be in luck. I got called out by Mr. Chuck Campisi.
Oh, awesome.
So I've got to do this wonderful challenge. But as far as memorable, the ones I remember off the top of my head are Bill Gates, which I thought was kind of funny the way he did it, and obviously the fact that he joined in. I thought that was cool. I did not see Chris Pratt's original, at least I don't remember it, but I did see his second one where he drank the vodka ice and then the Smirnoff ice, and then his wonderful, beautiful wife and her friend dumped the ice bucket on him while he was giving the video. And then they called out James Gunn and David Bautista, which I also saw those two. James Gunn was interesting, but I really, David Bautista, his Drax from Guardians of the Galaxy, I don't want to ruin it for anybody, but he was already sitting in a tub of ice.
Nice.
And then the camera pulls back to reveal that, and you're like, holy crap, this dude's crazy. So
yeah,
was,
well, he might have been icing something from his wrestling or whatever else he's been up to, man. So
that is very true. So
that is awesome. I also saw the Chris Pratt one, and I have a story about that one a little bit later. So I'll save that one, but I did find that highly amusing. It didn't seem staged either. It seemed like they dumped that on him without him expecting it. I don't know, either that or he's just a good actor, which wouldn't surprise me either way.
No, he was definitely getting, it seemed like he was getting annoyed because they kept doing it.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. Of course,
which was awesome.
Yeah. I thought it was good. Yeah. So I was glad to see that. And then I think the other one for me that I just thought was really kind of funny was, if you don't know this, I am a Colorado Avalanche fan. So living in Michigan, I'm very much in enemy territory here. But I follow them, and their mascot did it. And what I thought was the most clever thing about it was they dumped the Zamboni ice on him. And so, I mean, it was a ton of ice. It actually, like, you know, knocked him forward in the whole process. So I thought that was kind of cool to employ the Zamboni in there.
That is cool. That's funny.
Cool. Well,
very
good
cool.
Cause. And yeah. Hopefully people are, you know, going to continue to do this. And I haven't gotten tired of it. I think it's great.
It's for a good cause. I don't know how people can get tired, but maybe, I don't know, maybe people just don't understand.
Yeah, could be. Other thing, next topic, there's been a couple of Star Wars things that I've noticed. The most recent, and I wanted your opinion of it especially, is the new Stormtrooper helmet. Have you seen the picture of that yet?
I have. It's interesting, because I remember when the Clone Wars first came out, not the Clone Wars, but the clone images first came out,
yeah.
And it was obviously an early interpretation of what would become a Stormtrooper. I'm like, oh, right, cool. And then seeing these, I'm like, oh, cool. And I think it's more of I knew how the clones were going to fit to an extent. Now I'm like, what role are the Stormtroopers going to play in this? Mm-hmm. So I'm less concerned about the mask or the helmet and more intrigued by what role are the Stormtroopers playing in the movie. But, yeah, I was anything that comes out, you know I'm excited.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Yeah, I think I felt the same way. I felt like it had a sort of Tron feel to it. I don't know why I felt that way, because it didn't, like, glow or anything, but maybe just the way that it was smoother and the way that the glass was in it, you know, the black, you know, lenses or whatever, it just kind of had that kind of a feel for some reason. I'm not sure why.
Yeah, if Flynn shows up in the movie, he is static, because any tie-in with Tron, and I'm a big fan.
That would be quite a feat, I think.
Well, and they're
Disney
both
owned.
Star Wars. Yeah, exactly. They're both Disney-owned, so let's do that, yeah. But other news I saw from Star Wars was the original trilogy being released on Blu-ray, and I believe, I didn't see details, but I believe the thought is that it's going to be literally the original trilogy, uncut.
Oh, finally.
And
finally.
Unaltered. Yes.
Oh, I've been waiting for that.
So I'm assuming you're a fan of this idea.
I am a huge fan. I am so much a fan of this idea. I literally still have the VHS version, the latest ones that they released, that didn't have any of the changes that he made. They were the new digitally enhanced VHS ones.
Mm-hmm.
So they came out, I think, right before he re-released them to theaters and made all the changes that you and I think, agree are not huge fans of for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
That is super exciting, because I've been watching the Blu-rays when we do watch Star Wars, and every time I just sort of shake my head at some of the stuff. The thing that bothers me the most, Jimmy, not to be too much on a tangent here, is all the stuff he added in, and then there was some stuff in the movie that he still didn't fix, like when Darth Vader's lightsaber isn't lit up when the when the door closes right before the good guys make their escape after Obi-Wan sacrifices himself. You can see the little, like, metal sword thing that he was using to that they would use in the actual sword fights.
That's
it was like,
fixed.
What?
That was
yeah.
fixed. It
was
fixed.
It fixed? It wasn't yep. in one of them. When we saw it in the theaters,
no,
I remember seeing
it. On the latest Blu-ray, it has been fixed.
Okay, so they went
you're right.
to the Blu-ray and fixed it.
Yeah, you're right. After 30 years, seriously, and the re-releases and all that, you couldn't fix that? I agree
yeah.
with you.
Yeah.
And one of the bloopers that they can never fix, and I hope people have seen this, is
oh.
when C-3PO is hiding from the stormtroopers
yeah.
in that little room, and the stormtrooper hits his head on the door because it didn't go all the way up. Classic.
Yes. Yes, when I am 80 years old and I have, you know, grandchildren, maybe even great-grandchildren, I'm just going to lie to them and tell them that I was that stormtrooper. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to sell the idea that I was in Star Wars and they'll ask me who I was, and I'll be like, I'm the stormtrooper who hits his head on the door.
Nice.
And I'll make this whole story about it. It wasn't my fault. The door didn't go up. And it's going to be great. I can't wait until I have to wait time that old because then my wife will let me get away with it. Now she
yeah.
wouldn't let me get away with it. So
you're not old enough yet. You got to be.
Not yet. Not yet.
Just do the math, and it's like, wait a minute, you weren't born yet. Nice. See, though, I will admit, I like the idea of the originals, but there's a
yeah.
part of me that he owned, did a lot of just genius business maneuvers to make sure he owned the rights to that movie, so he could do whatever he wanted to it. And
yeah.
to me, he did, and I might not like it, but he had that right, and I appreciate that. Do I like a lot of changes? Not at all. But he had the right to do it, and that's where I'm torn on that issue, because, man, can you imagine if Fox owned the rights to Star Wars still?
Oh, yeah.
No,
yeah.
I can't. So, I go back and forth on that. That's a tough one. And the fact that he altered, like, I don't even think there's a copy of the original Star Wars that he showed in theaters on, what was it, May 24th or whenever, because as soon as it was released, he went back in and added titles. Those weren't originally on it. Episode 4, A New Hope, he added that. It was not on the original release. It was just Star Wars.
Wow. I
yeah.
did not know
so,
that.
So, yeah, he messed with it right away, right from the beginning. So it's something he's done ever since he made it. So it's tough for me, but at the same time, yeah, I'd like to see it again.
Yeah, I'm just excited because, hey, that's the version that we grew up with, if nothing
yeah.
else. And I'm surprised they wouldn't have an option where you could watch it, either version, you know, and have both of them on there. But maybe it's too much to put
well,
on.
They did Once Upon a Time. There's a, I think it's called a Lunchbox Edition. Came in a nice little tin DVD set that has both versions, which I do own. And it's pretty cool, but it was one of those ones that it came out limited edition, almost like a laser disc. You couldn't find it. So
laser disc.
Yeah, I know. I know exactly.
That's all.
What's that, Daddy?
Flip to side B.
Yeah, exactly. I think some schools in the diner are still using that. I don't know.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Anywho, what we got next?
Well, the only other Star Wars news that I had, and I just saw it, was like an image that they're not sure is authentic or not of a Star Wars villain. I don't know if you saw it, but he's a sort of Sith-looking dude. He's got some kind of mask on, like a Dr. Doomish kind of mask-looking thing, you know, because it's like silver. And he's holding
yeah.
what appears to be Darth Vader's helmet that's definitely battle damaged. Like, it looks like it's got a huge, like, gaping hole in it. I imagine from when it was set on fire by Luke Skywalker. I thought
yeah.
that was kind of interesting. And I just don't trust anything anymore, you know? Like, you just don't know with fans' creativity and capabilities
yeah.
with technology nowadays, like, who knows what that is. I'd be shocked if it was authentic.
I did see that report, and it made me nervous because the picture looked really cool. But then the description that I read was half Sith, half like Android. And I'm like, that's pretty much what General Grievous was. And
yeah.
I don't think they'd revisit that and redo that. I think that's kind of lame. So
yeah.
I don't know. I'm again tossed. I love that Star Wars is coming out, but some of this fake stuff, I hope some of it is fake. Like the original storyline that I heard that they, Han Solo and Chewbacca haven't seen Luke in 30 years. And all of a sudden somebody hands him his original lightsaber. from Bespin, and so they're off to find him. And I'm like, God, that better not be the storyline. That's so lame.
Well, hey, as long as it isn't as bad as Indiana Jones 4, I think we're okay, man. We should just count our blessings.
Well, and Lucas is not doing this. So. Again, I love you, George. I love you, George, but let's let JJ do it, okay?
Yeah, agreed, agreed. The other news that it's a little bit old, but we didn't really touch on it because of the weeks off that we had. But what was, you know, formerly rumors about Aquaman has mm-hmm. now been confirmed that Jason Momoa is going to be Aquaman in the upcoming films, whatever that might be. Whether he's in Batman versus Superman, I'm not certain, or what, but he has been sort of pinned, pegged, mm-hmm. whatever you want to call it, to play the part. Thoughts on that? Anything you want to – we've talked about it when it was a rumor, but anything that you think of with regards to that?
I love Jason Momoa. I only really know him from Game of Thrones. I thought he did fantastic as Khal Drogo. I was so bummed. I would say devastated, but come on, it's fiction, so how can you be devastated when he died? So, and both yeah. in the book and the show, because I've been reading the books now, so I was devastated all over again. Watching Guardians of the Galaxy, knowing that he had been offered the role of Drax, and seeing David Bautista, who I enjoyed. I don't know much about him as far as a wrestler, but I really enjoyed him in that role. And I was like, man, I wonder what it would have been like if Momoa played it. But then mm-hmm. I thought, man, I'm glad he turned it down, because that obviously gives him the opportunity to be Aquaman.
Sure.
Curious. The only thing that really concerns me about the Aquaman reports coming out is they hired two screenwriters to write two separate scripts.
I saw that.
And yeah. I don't know why they would do that, because one guy came back and said in the comments, well, they do that a lot. Hollywood does it all the time. I'm like, no, they don't. And they certainly don't promote that they're doing that. So I don't
yeah.
understand where they're going with that. But other than that, I love Aquaman in the New 52. I really hope they go along that route. But I'm very, very curious to see how Jason Momoa is going to play that.
Yeah, I am too. I think he's got the capabilities. I think that, first off, he's got to go blonde. Like, you have
yeah.
to be... You have to be blonde as Aquaman. It's just too iconic a part of his figure. And I think if anybody can make Aquaman cool and make him threatening and powerful, I think they picked a good actor to do it.
Yeah,
the other thing that was – go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you know, I think for years we've been speculating who could play Aquaman for real, not as a joke like Entourage, but – who seriously could play him? And honestly, off the top of my head, I can't think of anybody that I'd be like, oh, dude, that's Aquaman.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a good point. The only other thing that I thought that was sort of encouraging was a little bit of Zack Snyder news, where I didn't see the interview, but I read the article on it, where he actually came to Aquaman's defense and was saying that he wasn't as lame as everybody thinks he is, which I think is true. But the most encouraging part of it is from the quotes that I read, it actually sounded like he actually knew what he was talking about, which, if you know much about Zack Snyder, has sometimes been some of his biggest criticism, is that how could he be so clueless when it comes to the genre, or and maybe not so much clueless as ambivalent, like he just didn't really care what the comic book nerds. You know, the encouraging thing is that Zack Snyder is... You know, he certainly has some interest in the character and wants him to be cool, and that's encouraging. Whereas his criticism, of course, has been that he doesn't care or doesn't care what nerds think. And I think that can be healthy to an extent, because you can't care too much what nerds think, or we'd have a Wolverine in spandex, you know, and Hugh Jackman would have never been Wolverine. You do have to sort of respect, I think, what's more important, the original content. You have to have a respect for that. And it sounds like he does, or maybe it could possibly, what crossed my mind is he realized how much backlash he got from his She-Hulk comments that he's sort of toeing the line a little bit more maybe too. So
that could be. I'll be honest. I know this is not a popular opinion, but I did not like the comic book Watchmen. Did not like it. I love his adaptation of the comic book, and I know he made some serious changes and I appreciated those changes, and I like them, specifically the ending. So,
Yeah,
I can see where, you know, kind of saying, no, nerds, we're going to do it this way, makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I do too. I do have to strongly disagree with you about the movie versus the comic. I do have to agree with you about the ending, though, because the ending was more appropriate for the time for today. I think doing the ending like it would have been in the comic would have been dated and wouldn't have worked as well.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a whole nother topic, man. We can't jump into that. I'm a huge Alan Moore fan. Love Watchmen, so I thought he did a fine job. I wasn't like, oh my gosh, how could he? Yeah, cool. Well, the last thing I want to touch on, and I think we can do this pretty briefly, is I just saw this, that Julie Newmar, was her birthday on August 16th, so I wanted to wish Julie a happy birthday. I'm sure she's one of our listeners. She, if you do not know, was Catwoman in the old 1960s Batman television series with Adam West. And in my opinion, for me, still embodies Catwoman. I think she's the classiest. I think she knew how to make Catwoman. As campy as that show was, she was still hip and cool and sexy. And villainous, and just was fun, and she's just a classic beauty. And don't get me wrong, I love my Michelle Pfeiffer is a great Catwoman too, but she's Tim Burton's Catwoman, and that's pretty obvious. Any thoughts on Julie Newmar or Catwoman in general?
I think you summed it up. I think Julie Newmar is beautiful, gorgeous, great, especially for the TV show.
Mm-hmm.
I was not a huge fan of Tim Burton's Catwoman.
Mm-hmm.
I know that goes against everything that you are, but
not too much. But yeah, I did like his Catwoman. I hated his Penguin, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Catwoman wasn't all that bad. But Halle Berry, I think it's one of those things where we forget that it exists.
Yeah, because it shouldn't. Yeah.
We can't forget Eartha Kitt back in the TV show as well.
Yes.
She was fun. I think she was a little. I can't really compare the two, but I think she played it more fun than Julie Newmar. But,
mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Christopher Nolan, Catwoman. I think that was genius. I think that got a lot of flack because of the picture that came out before the movie. But then when we all saw her portrayal, I thought that was fantastic.
Yeah, I thought it worked nicely. I thought it fit in that universe well. But like I said, for me, Julie Newmar is the Catwoman. I will take that 60s Catwoman over any of the others. Love it when they pay tribute to her in the comics. And do the Catwoman costume that way.
Mm-hmm.
And then from also what's great is I've heard she's a great person too. Very nice
cool.
to her fans and just a class act all around, which doesn't surprise me. So
that's
cool.
Very
Happy
cool.
birthday, Julie Newmar. All right, let's move to our suggestions. Let's start with the family suggestions. What is your thoughts on a family suggestion? What would you like to suggest to people?
Well, I go with one that I wasn't. And kids love it because, you know, there's a bunch of kids and there's flying and all sorts of fun stuff. So I would definitely say Steven Spielberg's Hook, starring Robin Williams, Dustin Hoffman, Bob Hoskins, who we recently lost as well. So a lot of great, great actors in that one.
Absolutely. Hook is fun. It's just fun all the way around, and a great Robin Williams movie to watch. I love that Dustin Hoffman was Captain Hook. That man is so talented that I didn't even, when I had first seen it, I didn't know who Dustin Hoffman was.
Really?
And later on when I rewatched it, knowing who, I was like, oh my gosh, that was Dustin Hoffman. Because
you've
I think his performance was so transformative.
You've seen Tootsie, right?
I saw Tootsie, and
okay.
I had seen Rain Man. I think I just,
okay.
you know, Dustin Hoffman's name just didn't click for me, you know, back then. And then later it did, when I realized, okay, this is the same actor was in both of those movies. Because even in Tootsie, I mean, he's amazing in that, too, and the way he transforms himself is pretty phenomenal. He's one of my favorite actors, bar none.
Yeah, he's amazing. He is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah,
so what is your family-friendly suggestion?
Mine is a book, and it's a series of books. There's a few of them out there. It's called the series is called Ordinary People Change the World. And then the title is I Am So-and-So. So the one that I have in front of me right now is I Am Amelia Earhart. And they're all by Brad Meltzer, and they're illustrated by Christopher Eliopoulos. I always pick the hard names. It's very fun. It's for kids. The art is very sort of Scotty Young looking, Calvin and Hobbes kind of a look actually
awesome.
To it. Yeah. Yeah. And it's got these great facts, and it has Amelia Earhart as a kid. And shows her, you know, pretending to fly, you know, just in the yard and you know, not wanting to wear a dress and things like that. And all of this as a kid. And so it gives you some actual facts about what she was like when she was a kid, but then, of course, transitions to, you know, who she was as an adult you know, why she was so iconic. And then in the back it has actual photographs, historical photographs, and it's just great overall series. The other two that I know that are out so far are I Am Abraham Lincoln and I Am Rosa Parks. So any of those three are certainly worth getting your hands on, and they're great for kids who are, you know, ages 5 to 8 to learn about these pretty cool figures.
That's awesome.
Yeah. All right, two good suggestions, I think. How about on to our adults only nerd cave suggestions? You want to start off with those ones, Steve?
Sure. As a lot of people know, I'm sort of slow to the game sometimes and adopting things, especially when it's TV shows. It's just hard to get on the same time cycle as what's going on. And this one in particular was difficult because I kept moving with it, messing with it, and it eventually ended up on Netflix only, I believe. But I have really gotten into Friday Night Lights TV show. Not the movie. I actually hated the movie because how can you have an inspirational movie with a sad ending? Like, they failed, but still ticks me off. But the TV show is just so good. I'm finished season one. It stars Kyle Chandler, my girlfriend, not tell my wife that, Connie Britton. I think she's absolutely gorgeous. Taylor Kitsch, Jesse Plemons, just a great cast. And it just tells the trials and tribulations of basically high school football in Texas, which I think is very similar to a lot of small towns in Ohio. So it's just fascinating to watch. I really highly recommend it. It's on Netflix now. I believe there's only 5 seasons of it. And it seems like the whole time they were making it, it always was constantly in trouble, constantly ready to be canceled, and they still plodded through. So I'm curious to see the later seasons. But, man, it's just very entertaining. At least season one is. I'll let you know about season two.
Cool. Yeah, I've heard some good things about it, but I just never ventured in there because it just seems so sort of I don't know, teeny bopper drama kind of stuff that, you know, I wasn't like Laguna Beachy, you know, kind of a thing. I know it's not the same, but so I never really jumped into it, even though I had heard good things. But maybe I'll have to check that out. Cool.
I would recommend it. I felt the same way, and of course, because I didn't like the movie, and I'm not the biggest Peter Berg fan. He's okay, but, like, I did not like Battleship. That was awful. So I was like, okay, well, he adapted this for the TV. Well, whatever. So I just never got into it, and I just reached that lull where I finished my last series, my binge-watching series. So, like, well, what's next? And Netflix hit it. They said, recommend it for you.
Cool. All right.
So how about you, Jason? What is your adult recommendation?
Well, I actually have 3, but I'm going to be really fast. They're all 3 comic books, okay?
Cool.
But I'm just going to hit them real quick because the first two are only in issue 1. But I suggest get them because I think they're going to be awesome. The first one is called Supreme Blue Rose. It's by Warren Ellis, and the art is by Tula Lotte. The art is phenomenal. I'm following her on Image just because I love her, or on what's the picture thing? Why am I not thinking of what that is? This is old man syndrome coming in. Instagram. That's what I was looking for. Graham. I'm hip. I'm cool. Come on. Tugga, tugga. Her art is so amazing, and she puts a lot of her art on there from Blue Rose. It's just got this, I can't even describe it. It's just funky. Like, it looks like sort of a Fables kind of, you know, art, where it's this sort of definitely comic book, but lends itself more towards realistic feel to it. But then the colors have this sort of watercolor feel, and then she kind of goes out of the lines and has some funky designs that go all around it, too. You just kind of have to look at it. Believe me, check it out if you can find her on Instagram. Check out her stuff. Cool. But check out Supreme Blue Rose. I can't tell you much about what the book's about because it's so kind of out there. But it's got this idea of some, I know the bad guy seems to be this evil corporation guy, and Blue Rose, this, or the main character, I can't remember her name. I'm guessing it's Rose, but, it starts off with her having this dream where she's in this other dimension, which is sort of like a heaven kind of thing. And he kind of tells her not to trust this guy. And it's the guy who ends up hiring her as an investigative journalist, when she wakes up. Yeah, it's really kind of, it just seems really sort of almost Doctor Who-ish, kind of trippy, weird, cool stuff. The other one is Low, which is by Remender and Tocchini, and the art in that is also really cool. Both of these are image books, by the way. And the storyline of that is it's set in the way future dystopian society where basically, I guess, the sun has exploded. And so mankind has submerged themselves deep in the ocean to escape the radiation. And so they're looking for a way out. They're looking for the next step, the next stage in survival. And you have this small family where they you kind of get some bits and pieces of it that they're pretty important. They're hunters of some kind, and they have this special technological suit that is only recognize you by DNA, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, they get captured by pirates. And it's pretty dark and violent in the first episode. Issue. And it's really good. I think it's going to be one I'm going to stick with. And then the last one is Silver Surfer. I just have been getting a huge kick out of this. It's by Dan Slott, Michael Allred, and Laura Allred. I love the art. It's got this sort of cartoony sort of simplicity to it that I think is really cool for Silver Surfer. And then I just like the stories. It's sort of kooky. It's very – Dan Slott is a fan of Doctor Who, and you can tell in the book. Even the concept of the storyline is the Silver Surfer has this companion, and I don't have the book open, so I don't recall her name. But that's a very Doctor Who thing. I love it. I'm somewhat of a Whovian. I'm new to the game, but I do like it, and I think it's a unique take on Silver Surfer and different from most of the stuff you're seeing on the shelves. So those are my recommendations. How about
Very
you?
Cool. Very cool. Well, now are we going on to bad parenting, good parenting?
Yeah. Let's go to our parenting fails. Let's start with the parenting fails. And
okay.
Do you want to start, or do you want me to start? I don't care if it starts. It doesn't matter.
You go ahead, dude. Sounds like you really want to talk about your bad parenting.
I am all on this. it happened today. Not a huge parenting fail. And by the way, guys, like we don't fail this much, man. We can't fail every week and then do a podcast. So we really, really, really need some help on these. But mine was actually involving those ALS bucket challenge videos, and I thought, hey, this is cool. My daughter loves Guardians of the Galaxy. She liked that movie. She loved Rocket Raccoon and loved Groot, but I'm pretty sure she crushes on Chris Pratt. Now, he's not her first crush because that belongs to David Tennant, the 10th Doctor. So, but definitely one of them. And so I wanted to show her that he was doing this wonderful thing. And so it was the one that you were talking about, and the alcohol stuff went over her head. So I was like, okay, whatever. I'm not a big deal. But then he says, oh, some of that ice water went down my butt crack. And I was just like, oh, no. So perfect example of even something that seems innocent and you're thinking, what a great idea to show my daughter that this person, this actor that she likes cares about other people and so forth. And then he says butt crack on there. But I think even that wasn't as bad as when she was retelling this to my brother when we were over at their house for the day and started to tell her. But here's the problem where it was a parenting fail for me is I jumped in like it was a big deal when she got to the part where she was going to say about the butt crack. As I went, I was like, no, that's enough. And so she didn't, like, get upset about it or anything, but I think it made it seem a lot worse. And so my wife was like, why did you do that? Like, you made it seem like, you know, it had the F word in there or something like that, or it was really, it ended really badly or something. And I'm like,
yeah,
I guess it did. I should have just, like, kind of let it go and just been like, yes, we don't use that word. But I didn't. I kind of jumped on her about it a little bit. So, parent overreaction. So that's my parenting fail.
That's funny. That's not too bad. I think she'll get over that.
Oh, I'm sure she already has.
Yeah. So along the lines of we need submissions on this, this one's not – it could have been awful. And luckily, it was a near miss. So – as we talked about before, we recently moved, and in our move, we were packing things up, and we came across our little elf dude, the guy that visits during Christmas and moves a little elf every day.
Elf on a shelf.
So as we're packing up, you know, we're coming to the last things, and of course, you know, we find where we store, quote unquote, store our elf, and we call it Fred. Fred the Elf, that's what the kid named it. So it's one of those last things, the kids are there, as we're trying to move, we totally forgot about it, like, oh my God. So we put it in the glove box of Allison's car, just like, we'll hide it real quick, no big deal, whatever. And of course, as you're moving, you totally, your brain's all over the place and you forget things. So, of course, we forgot that Fred the Elf is sitting in the glove box. Luckily, the kids are still in car seats in the booster, so they're never in the front seat. But that doesn't mean that we don't open the glove box to look for things. I can't remember what came up. It was something where it was like, oh, honey, check the glove box. Maybe it's in there. Pulled it open, and there, if you're looking at the right angle, definitely Madison, who sits behind the driver's seat, could have seen it. Fred the Elf, all his glory, just laying in the glove box, like, oh, luckily out. And nobody was the wiser, and we got one. We got lucky, because that could have been an awful comment. What is Fred the Elf doing in the glove box? What do you mean Santa's not real? Oh, my God. So, yeah, we escaped really, really bad parenting by the skin of our teeth. That was bad.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah, that's sort of... In a way, kind of creepy, you know, that the elf in the glove box just kind of jumped in there. what happened to him?
What's even more sad is because now we are just moving into our new house. He is still there, and we've decided to keep him there, so at least we know where he is.
At least you know he's there. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. But still, you know, if he ever does, you just say, hey, guys, he owed the Corleones some money, and this is just what happens. You got to pay your debts.
Exactly.
Oh no, that's exactly. Awesome. Well, good. I'm glad you avoided it. So
yeah,
let's go to our parenting wins. I'll start with mine. Mine actually goes to my wife, Megan. Her parenting win is that she plays a video game on the Wii called Superhero Squad with my son and sometimes my daughter. And it's a battling superhero game. At least there's that element to it. And my wife does not play video games, so this is already a parenting win for her. But she will play this against my son, and will play it for, you know, quite some time, not just like, you know, a couple games or whatever. And I have to admit, she's pretty good at it. Her favorite character is Captain America. She likes using his shield, and she can get the combos down with him and everything. But she'll play some of the other characters too. But what's sort of funny is that my son has been forbidden to play Storm in that movie or in that that video game because he's too good with her.
Nice.
And my wife calls it her dippy doos. I don't know why she uses that word, but it's basically like this little short blast that Storm does. And Cade can just sit there and like hit that blast like all day long, and you can't like beat him. Like you can't, because you can't get inside and like hit him, you know, because those things are so fast. So she refuses to let him play that character. Which I kind of understand it, because I can't beat him with Storm's dippy-doos either, unless I am the Thing because he's big, and so it only takes a couple hits from things. So if I get lucky enough to get inside, I can beat her. But she is definitely a parenting win for playing Superhero Squad with my son on several occasions, and they have fun doing it. She likes to be silly, and she's silly with the kids all the time. She actually even has done a Thor the Musical where she plays with Thor and has him sing songs and stuff. It's crazy, like weird, funny, awesome.
Yeah.
So she's a trooper. I mentioned it before that she's always been a trooper with my nerdy things and being into what I'm into, which is great, and I think that's important going both ways, no matter what, in a marriage, is getting into what the other person is into and having an appreciation for that. And then I think same thing, you see it with the kids too, and I think that's great.
That's
How about
very
you?
Cool. We're going to have to start doing some Skype sessions here where we have video and we write down what we are going to talk about beforehand and don't show each other. Just so we can prove that, look, we don't talk about this stuff because mine is also my wife.
Awesome.
But not video games or anything. My wife has made me drag around this tire swing she had when she was a girl. And by drag around, we've been together for 15 years. We just celebrated our 11th anniversary, wedding anniversary.
Congratulations.
Thank you. But the whole time we've been together, I've had to drag this tire swing around from storage shed to house. We have never owned a tree or anything to hang this tire swing from. So it's been like, why do we have this? Are you serious? And every time it's like, yes, we're keeping it. And it's not necessarily the word. It's a look. It's whatever. So it's like, all right, fine. So we just got into our new house, and we have two trees. And one of the first things my wife did was she hung up that tire swing. And, of course, I'm like, well, our son's 8. Maybe Madison doesn't like it. She's 5. I don't know. Nope. Both kids absolutely love it. They go in the backyard. They just swing on it. And it's amazing to me in this day and age of technology where they will be on Netflix, they'll be on iPads, they'll ask to use their phones, they'll play video games, that they still will just be like, I'm going to go outside. Oh, cool. What are you going to do? I'm going on the tire swing. It's like, awesome. Mm-hmm. So the tire swing that my wife made me lug around, but that she hung up, and definitely the kids are getting tons of fun out of it. So kudos to my wife and the good parenting.
Yeah, that is awesome. That is really awesome, especially that it was hers. That's so cool. Great story.
Cool. Yeah, it is pretty cool.
Very cool. Well, episode 10, man. Pretty good, I think.
I think so. I think we kept it nice and concise, and I'm pretty excited by this. But users, listeners, please send us some ideas. Send us some parenting wins. Send us some parenting fails. Send us suggestions, all that fun stuff. We will use it, and we will mention you. We will say your name. The whole world will know, especially Julie Newmar. She will know that you gave that to
her. Exactly.
So, Jason, awesome. Great work. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
And we will be back next week for episode 11. Have a nerdy week.
That's awesome.